So as you, many of you know that I am taking a study break for the month of July, and so we're having different either elders or individuals in the church or missionaries sharing for the month of July, and we have the privilege of having Vernon Bird speaking today. He is a missionary with Youth with a Mission. Vernon was here for many years. When I came here, was one of the elders on at CCC, and it's always a joy to hear him. Vernon is one of the most encouraging guys you will ever meet. I remember when I first got here, this is a quote. Someone told me that Vernon can tell you to go to hell and you will enjoy it all the way because he's so encouraging. So I don't know if that's accurate or not, but it does tell you about the persona and the gifting and ability. So let's just pray for Vernon and get everybody back on track. Father, I just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I thank you for Vernon. Lord, I thank you for what he's going to share with us today. And I just pray, Lord, that you would anoint him and empower him by your Spirit to bring forth your word for us today, specifically those who are here at CCC. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's better? Okay, I think it's this. All right. Well, good morning. Thank you, David. It's nice to be home. This is certainly home for me, even though I spend most of the year elsewhere right now. And I'll share a little more about that as a report to the church a little later, maybe in August. But today, David and Skye both asked me if I would share on this general subject called living life to the fullest, and having that be from an eternal perspective, especially in retirement or even in retirement. So I'm gonna start off here with a story. Give me the next slide, please. Thank you. There was this rabbi named Akiva ben Yosef. And he lived in the first century. He overlapped with Paul. He was probably in his teens when Paul was martyred. And he was considered even more prominent than Gamaliel, who basically was Paul's teacher. Very well known. There are books about him and a lot of literature. But there's a story about him where he was known for being so contemplative or so into his meditations about the scripture that he would just not notice other things around him. And one day he's walking home, and he misses his turn to Capernaum, didn't turn left, kept going straight, and all of a sudden he finds himself in front of this Roman fortress. They're the sort of the occupying enemy. And a voice comes out of the sort of late afternoon shadows that says, "Who are you, and why are you here?" And he's startled, and he says, "What?" And the guard says, "Who are you, and why are you here?" He thinks for a minute. He said, "How much are they paying you to be there and ask me those questions?" And the guard says, 2 drachma per week. He said, "I'll pay you 4 if you come to my house and ask me those questions every day." Next slide, please. So what does it mean to live life to the fullest? A lot of it depends on how we answer those two questions. So who am I? What's my identity? And why am I here? What's my purpose? The answer, please, the next one, sorry. The answer to these questions is basically based on how we view the world, our worldview. And there are lots of different worldviews. I get to see and understand them more as I travel in other countries. But let's just take a couple of them now, sort of generic non-religious one, and then let's do a biblical Christian one and see how these affect how we answer those basic questions. Next slide. There are numbers of variations in what we might call a non-religious worldview, but I found one by Dr. Mike Brooks, who's a psychologist and was in Psychology Today, 2020. And this is what he said. What's the purpose of life? An answer, as opposed to the answer, is to this ultimate question, is that we exist to continue to exist. We evolve to evolve. Health, happiness, and longevity are the payoffs for this. Since our biological evolution is the foundation of our existence, a purpose of our lives is to continue to evolve during our lifetime by learning and growing, and to continue this evolutionary process throughout our lifetime. Next slide, please. Now, Dr. Brooks's view is pretty widespread among many people that I know, particularly in the West, at some form of that. And so the way you would answer that question, if you have that worldview, is that I'm an evolving organism, I'm alive due to chance, and why am I here? To strive to be a little better, whatever that means, than the day before, and to continue the evolutionary process. Next slide. And so the implications of that, which very many people have some form of that worldview, I would say, is that chance is the creative force in the universe, not God. We're organisms in the process of evolving. There isn't any life after this one, and eternity really doesn't have any importance for individual humans. Next slide. But now let's look at what we might call the Christian view. And of course, there's variations in this as well, but these are some basic tenets that most Christians, probably most people here today, would agree to. That God created us individually in His image for a purpose. We are sinners due to the fall, but we're saved. That's great news as a result of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We're a new creation when we receive Him. We're born again, and now the Holy Spirit lives inside. And we know we're on this earth for a tiny, short period compared to eternity, but we will live for eternity after this little brief period. I think most people that are Christians would believe some form of that. Next slide, please. So to answer these questions about who am I and why am I here, from a Christian view, would be I'm a child of God, uniquely created in His image. And there's scriptures, lots of scriptures that relate to that. The one that I pulled out there in Romans is that that Jesus was the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That means we're many brothers and sisters, and we're God's handiwork. Next slide. And then, why am I here? The scripture actually gives us some pretty good, at least general guidance on this. And I just pulled out some of them. Jesus boiled down all the commandments into two: love God and love people. Believers are to do all things for God's glory. So why are we here? Well, we're to love God, love people, and to glorify God in our existence. That's pretty clear. God prepared good works for us to do, and to spread the good news of the gospel. That's another reason we're here. And then He created us to steward the environment, or the creation in Genesis. Next slide. But here's something from a different perspective, from a sort of a eternal perspective. And there's different teachings on this. Dave might have to straighten this out after I say this. But no, there are different teachings on this. But the scripture does talk about the next life, if you will, and what our roles might be. And here's one scripture that does that. And it sets it up so we're almost like practicing now for something later. And this one's in 1 Corinthians, and it says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unrighteous, and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not think that we shall judge angels? How much more, then, things that pertain to this life?" And even possibly more amazing is other scriptures, but one in Timothy, "If we endure, we shall also reign with Him." Wow, an eternal perspective is saints that judge and co-rule. That's pretty amazing if we really, really believe that. Next slide. So the implications of all of that are that we're sons and daughters of the Most High and saints. We're here to glorify God by loving Him, loving people, and doing the good works He's laid out for us, including telling people about Jesus, the good news. And this is one of the gentlemen that kind of thinks about all of this in a more eternal perspective, Rick Warren. Everybody probably knows that name. Purpose-Driven Life is the famous one. He says, this is preparation for eternity. He says, life is a dress rehearsal. It's the warm-up act for the big event. You need to get prepared for eternity by getting to know God, becoming more like Jesus and letting God use you to fulfill his purpose on earth. Next slide. So the question at first was, what about living life to its fullest? Well, this fullness starts by believing, really believing that God created us for a purpose and that Jesus saved us and that we really are born again and carrying the same spirit inside of us that raised Jesus from the dead. We will live forever as saints who judge and co-rule. If those are the basis for living life in fullness, is a belief in these tenets. Next slide. And that's very good general guidance, important, critical, basis for everything. But what about specific purposes on earth, part of living life to its fullest? Ephesians says he has purposes for each of his children. I guess that would be all of us. In conformity with the purpose of his will. I guess we've just talked about his overall will. What about these specific purposes that conform to that? Next slide. And they're important. They're like, where do I live? Who do I marry? What school do I go to? Which sphere do I operate in? Business, communications, education? What job should I have? All of those questions. And they're very important. Next slide. And God does guide us in these decisions. We believe that. We believe we have this love for and relationship with our Father and that he does guide us. And he does it through a number of different ways. Different people, different ways. Same people, different times. So desires of our heart says that he gives us the desire of our heart. And part of that means he puts that desire in our heart. That's a God-given thing. Talents that lead us in a direction. You see talents on display up here that led in a direction. For me and for numbers of people that I know, once I'm praying about something and God, say, leads me in a certain direction and I decide that's the way to go, then I feel a real peace about that. And so that's another way that he speaks to us. Clear impressions. I might be asking God for an answer to something. And something comes into my mind that really bears on that. That's another way. Dreams for some people. Certainly wise counsel and then his word. Passages just jump out at us sometimes. Now this is in the context of a conversation with our Father where we're really seeking his will, specific will, for one of these questions or even finer than that. Next slide. Now all of those are important. Where I work, who I marry, where I live, and so on. But I think, in terms of living life to its fullest with an eternal perspective, it's more important how we do what we do than what specifically we do. And it turns out, and we've heard testimony to that this morning from a number of you, that we have many opportunities. And it doesn't matter what worldview people have, and I have good friends that are staunch Hindus and some that are staunch Buddhists and some who are animists, some who are meditators of a guru. Every one of them, though, would appreciate me demonstrating the nature and character of God through fruit of the Spirit. Everybody appreciates that, and we get opportunities for that. So to me, whatever we're doing, if we're doing it in a way that we're kind of manifesting the fruits of the Spirit, that's worthwhile. That's something worthwhile. Next slide, please. And we get to demonstrate these through all kinds of relationships. You heard some of them this morning. Every one of us here is involved in at least a couple of these right here. And there are others. There's teacher, student, and so on and so on. But it's through relationships. It's through relationships that we're able to fulfill the call that he has for us specifically on this earth, and it's how we do it in a way that creates a more full life. Next slide. Turns out we talk about life, and sometimes people at a memorial service, of course, we always say the nicest things we can about people, and it's easier for some than others, but that's a time of looking back at a whole life and saying, did they waste their life, or, you know, was it a really productive life? But it turns out, if we think of it a little more finely, life's basically composed of time. And we all have 24/7 while we're on earth, same amount, and we have a free will, and we get to decide how to spend that. Well, when we waste time, we're really wasting part of our lives, I guess, and not living to the fullest. The objective would be to really focus on not wasting time. Now, how in the world do you define that, though? So waste is generally defined as using or expending something carelessly or to no purpose. Next slide. So if my worldview is a general non-Christian worldview and I'm just here on earth to continue evolving, then there's really nothing that's a waste of time. And this is not a trivial understanding, because most of your friends, many of your friends, are operating from some form of that. So you're not even talking about the same thing sometimes when you're talking about the motive for things. There really isn't any waste of time. Just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die, and that's all there is to it. And if that's your worldview, then you're coming at things from a very different place than most of you are. But if we're created for a purpose on earth and the hereafter, then time is a real gift. And we're asked and basically told to use it wisely. Paul, talking to the Ephesians, said, be careful how you live. Don't live like a fool, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. That's some general guidance about how to walk through this. Next. So these are the points in that scripture. Make the most of every opportunity, and through relationships and our in all of our interaction, we have a lot of opportunities. Uplift each other. Praise God and be thankful for everything. Short version of what that said. Next one. Okay, here's the list. Now, don't look at it too closely yet, because you get offended. That no two of us would necessarily put activities in these two categories, but most of us on this left side, let's look at what's not wasted time. Well, work, we would say, is probably not wasted time. Got to do it, right? Reading the Bible, praying clearly, time in church, small group, listening to Christian music, sharing our faith, fellowship with friends and family, and eating. Not wasted time, right? Well, and others then would say, well, at least potentially and maybe often, these things can be a waste of time, like TV and movies, social media, computer games, listening to secular music, parties, hanging out at coffee shops. Whoa, sport fishing must have gotten the wrong category. So interesting, though, how we think about stuff, right? Next slide. It's really about the heart and the mind when we're doing these activities. It's how and why am I engaged in an activity? How does it fit with loving God and others, doing good deeds, glorifying God? How does that fit, this activity? How's my heart while I'm doing this? Am I grateful? Am I praising God in my way? Is it uplifting to me or to others that are with me? And are my thoughts going in the wrong direction as a result of this activity at this time? Is the Holy Spirit comfortable with it? One of my mentors in Youth with a Mission, the woman named Donna Jordan, and she and her husband, Peter, were leading the discipleship training school that I did. But Donna's very famous within Youth with a Mission and some church groups for teaching on listening to God. She's been doing it for 30 years. And on Friday in our discipleship training school, on weekends when we didn't have anything specific planned for the school, Donna would say, guys, you can do anything you want this weekend, just as long as the Holy Spirit's comfortable with it. Dang it. That sure changed the whole complexion of the thing. But it is a wonderful indicator for an activity about whether the Holy Spirit's comfortable or not. So, next slide. So I guess I would say, and maybe not 100%, most of these activities could be a waste of time, or they might not be, depending on those things we talked about. And I'll just give you a couple of examples. I have wasted time reading the Bible. I've done it in times in past years when it was sort of a discipline. I felt like I had to do it. It needed to get done and quickly, because I had to get to work. And I would read it. I didn't hear a thing I read. That was a waste of time. Not the activity, but the way I did it was a waste of time. Now, when I'm reading it and I am gleaning what I can from it, I'm connecting with God. I'm so grateful for the wisdom in the Word, and I'm understanding and meditating on what, that's not wasting time. Same activity, different heart. What about things like maybe video games? Before I came up here, I heard a lot of shouting and carrying on, which is very common in my house in Hawaii. Andy and Holly have 6 kids, and we have 4 other YWAM staff living with us. Some exciting things are going on all the time, and it's loud. This was particularly loud, so I went back to the family room, and Andy, my son, and his son, Valor, were playing a game. It's a basketball computer game where you can control the players, and they're just hollering and having a great time, and I realized that's a computer game. It is not a waste of time. There's a bonding going on here. Valor's seeing his dad doing something he's interested in. Of course, Andy's more interested in it than I have Valor, but the thing is, on the flip side of that, if he sat there, one of them sat there all afternoon just playing computer games, just spacing out, not doing much of anything with that, that's a waste of time. So I'm just saying it's hard to label stuff and categorically say this and judge other people, but it's all about a heart position. Next slide. What I'm talking about is really not about keeping score or a time clock. And it's really important that it's not that. It's really about fulfilling our purpose on earth. Because we love the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, it's a love relationship. It's relationships. That's why we say that Christianity is not really a religion. It's a way of life. It's a relationship. It's a connection with reality. And it's about believing that what we do can have eternal consequences. Not only because when we exhibit fruits of the Spirit and people are attracted to who God is because we're demonstrating His nature and character, not just that, but what about this deal where we may be practicing for later on? Maybe going through our life and paying attention here and believing that these things we can do will have eternal consequences is important. It's really just talking about taking life seriously. It's a gift. Time's a gift. Free will's a gift. And it's really easy to just let it go by. I do it all the time. I'm not saying I'm an example. I'm saying I think about it. I'm aware of it, and I want to do better. And it's about paying attention then in detail about how we spend our time. That's what I'm talking about. Next slide. Now, Scripture gives us day-to-day guidance for living life to the fullest. And it's in these broad categories, and there's lots of Scripture. I just picked out a few here that illustrate it clearly. And Jesus just replied, to the question about the commandments, which is the greatest. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind is a important aspect to our life on earth. Maybe the most important, at least as important as loving our neighbor as ourselves, which is the other thing he said. Do nothing for selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. That's a hard thing to do. Because of our fallen nature, I think automatically, and of course we're born selfish. If anybody's got little kids sees that. That's how you come. That has to change over time if we're really going to fulfill our purpose. And really get to the place where it really is about them, not us. Next slide. And there's other scriptures here that are really clear. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. We were just hearing this morning about the importance of prayer and the opportunities to be involved in that. That's guidance for living a life to its fullest. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. And people gave thanks this morning for circumstances other people would say weren't that great. But they're testifying to God's goodness. That's what's being talked about here. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is His will for you. Do good things. He created good things for us to do, however we define that, but we always know that there's an opportunity coming along to do that. If we're not self-focused, we can see those. And then humbly stand up for justice and love kindness. He's told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. It's a way of walking. Next slide. Trust God to direct. That's really hard. It's really easy to say and really easy to say, yes, I believe that. But it is really hard, at least for me, to completely trust God to direct my path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Whoa, it's easy to lean on my own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. That's a great promise. That's a great promise. And don't be conformed to the world. That's what we spend a lot of time talking about, is the world's doing this, you know, politics, whatever it is. There's a real problem. We're in a battle. We know that. We're in a spiritual battle. But we don't want to be conformed, even subtly, to a way of thinking that incorporates some of that stuff from the sort of the secular worldview. We really, really don't want that to happen, and He's telling us not to. And then minister to one another. And you do that well. I hear testimony of that this morning. But as each one has received a gift, minister to the other, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There we are showing God's grace. We're part of that. This whole thing we were talking about to other people has eternal consequences. Next slide. Okay, so do we ever retire from those things? I don't see any time limit on them. Those things we've been talking about, who am I and why am I here, and those sort of guides for living like that, you know, do we retire from that? Well, I did find something in Scripture about retirement, and there may be others, but this is the one I found. The Levites did retire, or actually the guidance was that they were to retire from regular service of sacrificing animals and other hard work at 50, which was old in those days. But they continued to serve as assistants at the tent of the meeting. So they didn't retire, they just changed jobs. And I think that's kind of what we do too. At some point, if you have a job particularly that's super physical, there'll be times when you get to a stage where you can't do that anymore, or it's hard to do that anymore. And maybe that's true too with juggling so many balls emotionally and mentally, get to a time when that's hard to do anymore. But does that mean that we just stop doing? Because the modern idea of retirement, finally, I get to be able to do what I want. Don't have to go to work anymore. Such freedom from that burden. Enjoy leisure because I earned it. I hear that from a lot of my friends. And I'm not saying these are bad things. Again, it's a heart position. It's why we're doing what we're doing. But if that's the primary objective, it's not living life to the fullness, in my opinion. Find the best ways to entertain myself. I would say some of my friends who are my age or a little bit older are just doing a great job of that. They are really good at finding ways to entertain themselves. And again, entertainment's not bad, but if that's the whole objective, it's not living life to the fullest. So this is a great opportunity. Next slide. Many, many, many retired people would measure success in terms of their finances, where they stand, what their possessions are, the prestige that they enjoy from their position earlier, if you will, or now at the country club or wherever. Their children's success. When my kids went to this school, they're doing this, they're making six figures kind of thing. Their travel. Amazing opportunities to travel. I was just in whatever. That'd be the conversation. But what about opportunities to serve others? Now, you can do that with any one of those things. Again, it's not the thing, it's how we do it. But what if our main focus was on opportunities to serve others? Next slide. It is true that when people, quote, retire, typically you might have more time than you had before. That's not already obligated. But I'm going back to what we talked about earlier. It doesn't mean that time was wasted at all if we're living according to these general objectives that we have. Love God, love people, do good deeds, and so on. That's all great. That hasn't changed. But now, at least you don't have those other commitments, potentially, that you had before. This is a gift. Theoretically, you have more wisdom. You do have more experience. Hopefully, we have more wisdom at this stage. That's a resource. That's an opportunity. That's it's a time to maybe shift directions, new season, using some of these things that are a result of having lived the way you've lived for all these years. That just even better fullness of life, if you can fully engage into using that to fully engage. I'm going to give a couple of examples. My parents, George and Helen Byrd, grew up poor in Western North Carolina. My dad was an orphan. They loved to work because they lived through the Depression, World War II. Was just such a gift to have a job. And my dad worked, he retired at 88. And my mom worked off and on through. She stayed home with us. When they, quote, retired or got to the place where they weren't quite as involved in the day-to-day, they started a prayer room at the First Baptist Church in Shelby, North Carolina. They had time to do that. So I'd be walking down in a mall or something and with my parents, and somebody would stop and say, George, can you put this on the prayer list for next week kind of thing? And it was, I realized he's still going for it. He's still fully engaged, he and my mom. And then after my dad died, my mom eventually went into an assisted living place. And her health was not good, and she was in a wheelchair. But every Sunday morning, I think some people didn't appreciate it, but she would go around to every door in the assisted living place and knock on it until somebody came and invite them to Sunday school that morning. And everybody didn't appreciate that, but a lot of people did. Point is, she really was still doing what she could do to bring God glory and so on. And when she died, my brother and I went back for the little memorial service at the retirement place or the assisted living place. And the guy, one of the older guys got up and said, you know, your mom taught us how to live and she taught us how to die. And I thought, now that's a real testimony. So I feel just so blessed to have those parents. And I want to use Sam Beachy's dad and mom as another example. Sam's mom's still living. Sam, what was the most recent birthday? 104. And his dad died at 106, is it? 105. I went fishing, which is not necessarily on the right-hand side, but could be on the left-hand side of it. I went fishing with Dave and Sam down in Florida. And Dave's probably in his 90s by then. And we stopped at a place to buy shrimp. And this kind of bedraggled guy is there. Looked like we used to say had been rode hard and put away wet. He had had a real testimony. And Dave walks in and he said, how you doing? I heard you had an operation. Are you any better? And he said, Dave was basically, he'd been going to that particular shrimp shop because he was testifying about Jesus to this guy and trying to lead him to the Lord. And I don't know if he ever did, but the point is, that was, that day, going fishing, even buying bait, was not wasting time. That's all I'm saying. And so, and his mom, she's just so faithful in the retirement home they were in. They go to the dinner, they're always talking about the Lord and how much he's blessed them and so on. And I just feel like that is an example of doing things that have eternal benefit with your last breath, if you will. Next slide. Okay. It's living life to the fullest is really about an outward focus. Grateful hearts are really important. And it's for being on assignment. We get a chance. If we really believe that stuff from that outline of Christian worldview that I put up there, and we really believe we're sons and daughters of the Most High, assigned for good works, if you will, to glorify Him by reaching out to other people. And He planned this even before the foundations of the world. This is, we can't really comprehend that. That should and does for me give me a grateful heart when I can really focus on that. What in the world? Who are we that he would kind of think? And so it could, in fact, result in thinking about who can I bless today? Okay, I really believe that I'm a son of the Most High, I'm carrying the Holy Spirit, and my purpose on earth is to reach out to other people today. Of course, fulfill every function as faithfully as I can, but with sort of a much more broad awareness about the day and just focusing on what needs to get done. And for a lot of my life, I just focused on what needed to get done that day. And it wasn't necessarily bad, but it wasn't the best. So I'm just saying there is a best, and it doesn't have to be either or. It can be both. It turns out it really, really is more blessed to give than to receive. And all of you have experienced that at some point. So we're not wasting time when we're focused on that, because almost anything we do with that heart can turn out to have eternal consequences for us and for them. And so I'm talking about a shift in perspective, not necessarily even a shift in anything we're doing. But I realize how our opportunities are only so many. And when we look back, we probably will see some that we didn't take full advantage of. Next slide. So I want to ask us to do something. In Youth with a Mission, we're one of our cultural pieces is we're very prone to have activations after some discussion about truths or a scripture or anything like that, or a challenge. And so this will seem like a lot long time if you've not ever done it before, but I'm going to time it. I like to have everybody spend 2 minutes. I'm going to put it on right now. 2 minutes, and this is what I'd like us to do, if you're willing. I want you to ask yourself, really yourself, do I really believe I'm a son or a daughter of God who's loved by Him? Just ask, and I'll leave this up so you can see it. Do I believe He has a purpose for me? I'm talking about really believe it. Everybody would acknowledge, yeah, yeah, that's right. But do I believe it? Do I really believe it? Am I doing a good job of fulfilling my purpose? Am I thankful most of the time? Am I outward focused, or is it often just about me and mine? And do I tell others what Jesus has done for me? So you can't be wrong about your testimony. That's just telling people what's happened. It's not even preachy. It's just saying what happened for you. So let's take 2 minutes, and I'll tell you when to start. And just think about this yourself, okay? You don't have to tell anybody, but try to be as honest as you can with yourself. Okay, it's sort of like a checking on your own status, if you will. Okay, let's do that. Now, I'm going to say that we're starting right now. Okay, thank you for doing that. Process it, you know, as you can. Next slide. Okay, I wanna give us a challenge for next week. Still hearing me okay? And again, it's if you choose to receive it. I'd like each one of us, I'll do it too, to ask God to direct our paths every day. I mean, literally say, Father, I'm asking you to direct specifically what happens today for me. Each one of us. Ask Him to make us aware of opportunities to glorify Him. So if He's directing our paths, He's certainly going to give us opportunities to glorify Him. And they're there all the time, but I don't think we see Him a lot of time. I know I don't. I miss Him. So let's ask Him specifically. He's pretty good at, He's going to do it. So let's ask Him to make us aware of opportunities and then try to remain aware during the day. I've several times in activation said, God, do this, and then totally forget about it till the afternoon. Oh, dang it. Because I think He has to help because there's so many distractions. But what if we do that? We say, God, just help me remain aware then of these opportunities that You're giving me, and then consciously actually be deliberate, be intentional in checking in to see if you have a grateful heart. Maybe you set your watch in every half hour because it's so easy to drift into other conditions without even knowing it. And maybe just try this, see what happens. So what we can, when we're aware of these opportunities and when He makes us aware of them, it might just be a smile for somebody that He's pointed out to you. And I don't mean He's up there with, I'm saying you see them and you identify with that. It's somebody that you just are drawn to, sort of. And it can be that brief. It could be an encouragement if there's more time and if that's what he's leading you to. Or it could be some kind of physical help. But just walking around with an awareness of the opportunities and also then being grateful. And I think the thing about it is this grateful heart comes from those other things. And a grateful heart can lead to the other things. I feel like they're pretty connected. And so being grateful not just at meals, say, and we say the blessing, now we're grateful for the food, but trying to extend that. Maybe, and there's so many things to be thankful for. Every time somebody would be in a group and we would say, okay, now what are we thankful for? Everybody can think of something. But what if we did that consciously during the day and not waiting for that kind of a prompt? And again, that goes back to, is the activity beneficial or wasteful? I mean, catching a fish can be like the best. I'm grateful heart. I'm loving it. With friends, we're doing it. Thank you, God. All of that. Or I can be, dang it, it's so crowded around here. Son of a gun. That guy just cast across my line. Those are real deal where the rubber meets the road. And we have the capacity within us to choose one or the other. So which one is a waste of time and which one isn't? I guess that's the deal, right? Okay, so then at the end of each day, if you can remember it, just spend a little time with God, pray and say, did I glorify you today? I'm your son, our daughter. Did I glorify you today? Were others blessed by me? Think about it consciously. Thinking back to the day, well, you know, there was that conversation with somebody at Spinard's, and they gave me bad news about a price, and my reaction certainly didn't bless them. They're the messenger, but I didn't bless them. Am I grateful or joyful? This is a state of being. And we all know when we're grateful or we're joyful. So at the end of the day, how was it today? How'd I do on that? And then do I feel close to you, Father? Is that connection good? Now, you can decide to do this or not, but this isn't anything patented. I made up these particular questions, but something like this can begin to shift our focus more real time to whether we're living life to the fullest or not, because it is composed of time, 24/7, not just the big picture. It is the big picture too, but this is where we can choose to actually work with it, use the Holy Spirit inside of us to cause us to live life to the fullest. And then share your experiences with each other. That was fabulous this morning. I love the open mic time. And it's not all, I mean, some days there's more than others, but everything was sharing God's stories this morning, and that's the thing. God's stories are so encouraging. Everybody that hears them, those that get to share them, those who are involved in them, and it builds an excitement about living more fully. It becomes contagious. We function better as a body, obviously. We're meant to function as a body. What I've been talking about is our role in that. But as a body, when we do this, when we testify to God's goodness, we praise God for health issues because people have reached out. We do that in public, and we celebrate together. There's something that really is important that has lasting consequences. So I just want to encourage us, maybe if you can this week, do those three things. Ask God in the morning for those. In the afternoon or evening, check up on how you did consciously. Not tell anybody, you're doing it yourself. And then I said experiences first, I said successes, but you can share those that weren't so successful too. But sharing with the body about how it all worked. I asked God if he would show me opportunities, and I was in Safeway, and somebody I didn't know, I just kind of noticed them. They looked like they were kind of sad. And I just went over and said, you doing okay? They don't know me, I don't know them. And it just opened something up. And it shared with me something. And even, it might not be this dramatic, but maybe they let me pray for them. Or maybe all I did was just say, I'm so sorry. You know, is there anything I can do to help? And now, that came from us asking, God showing, us doing, now let's share that. That's what I'm saying. Okay? So, let me just pray for us, and then Dave, I'll turn it back over to you. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for showing us how we should and could and have the privilege of walking out this life in its fullness. And it's all about you. It's all about our relationship with you. It's all about your goodness. We forget so often. God, I just ask you to seal whatever it is you've been doing in hearts here today. Cause us to be more intentional in how we live every day, God. Not as some legalistic thing, but because we love you, Father, and we don't want to disappoint you, and we want to be effective in your army. We want to carry out the assignments that you put on our hearts that glorify you. And we just thank you even for an opportunity to be free to talk about this and to encourage each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Vernon. If I could put it, encapsulate what Vernon was talking about in one phrase, it would be blessed to be a blessing. That's what I took away. God has blessed me so that I can be a blessing to other individuals. And the Lord's Supper is a reminder that we have been blessed in Jesus Christ because of what he has done for us. But it's also a reminder that we've been blessed to be a blessing. That is, God has blessed us in Christ so that we can be a blessing to other people. We cannot be a blessing to other people apart from Jesus Christ, because of what he has done in us, giving us his Spirit. And as we seek to be a blessing to other people, the Spirit works in and through those means to do that. So let's celebrate the Lord's Supper. If you are a Christian and you are part of a local church, you are welcome to celebrate the Lord's Supper with us. So we can just have everybody. You can clap. Go in the grace and peace of Christ and in the power of his Holy Spirit.